Hi, I'm Mickey Dolenz, and you are listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself. I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room today, this gentleman is multi-talented. He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a drummer, and he is best known as the iconic lead singer of the Monkees. Please welcome Mickey Dolenz. Hello, Mickey.
Hey, great intro. I'm glad I wrote it, and I'll send you the $20.
I would appreciate it. I would appreciate 20. So, Mickey, we're here today because you got a bunch of things happening. First of all, you got Dolenz Sings Nesmith out right now. It's an album of 14 tracks written by Mike Nesmith and interpreted by his bandmate, Mickey Dolenz.
Yep.
And then we got the Monkees Farewell Tour kicks off September 10th in Spokane, Washington. So you are
September
10th. And I just recently read that you're enjoying just being a grandfather right now.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. It's been a very, obviously weird year and a half or so, and difficult, of course, for everybody. But I hate to say that I've enjoyed it, but to some degree I have. I hate to say enjoy because of all the people that have suffered, but I have enjoyed the time off. It seems like it's the first time that I actually unpacked my suitcase and put it back in the garage for a couple of decades. And it's been nice, kind of semi-retirement, I guess, doing my grandfather thing, came along at a convenient time for that, and fishing and camping and gardening and working in my wood shop. So I've quite enjoyed it, and cooking, taking cooking classes, a lot of things I always wanted to do, but it's real tough when you're only home for maybe 8-10 days before you're out on the road again.
Right. Well, I mean, and again, I understand what you mean where it's hard to say that you enjoyed it. But at the same time, I think we can all understand, you know, being home with your family and, you know, having that quality time that you haven't had for so many years because of being on the road.
Yeah.
How many grandkids do you have?
Three.
Three. Are they all here in Southern California?
No, all over the place.
All over the place.
Mostly back east.
Oh, boy. That makes it tough.
It does, especially during the pandemic. Thank goodness for Zoom, huh?
For Zoom and FaceTime and all those all the technology that you and I didn't have as a kid. If this would have happened when we were kids, we would have been pulling our hair out big time.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Dolenz Sings Nesmith. So first of all, this album is produced and mixed by Christian Nesmith, Mike's son. Is this is Christian kind of like a nephew to you? I assume you've known him his entire life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I have known him his entire life. First met Mike, he was still in the crib, Christian.
Right.
I haven't spent an enormous amount of time with him over the years. Certainly a bit of time around the early Monkee days. But then I moved to England in 1975 or something, 76, something like that. And I was there for like 15 years and came back and went on the road. And Mike would join us and we occasionally bump into each other. More recently, a few years ago, he started playing in the Monkee band, playing guitar. And so we reconnected and... And then when the Dolenz Sings Nesmith project came along, of course, first decision I had to make was who was I going to get produced, and a few names were bantered about. And his name came up. And, of course, everybody got excited by that, just by the fact that who he is and his father and all that. But I got particularly excited because he's a really incredible musician.
Yes.
And has done a wonderful job in a couple of projects for us, mixing and recording and stuff. And, you know, the only question, and he agreed, is if I'm so close to this music, because the whole idea from the get-go was not to do a cover album.
Right.
Not to do a karaoke cover versions of these tunes, which is not a bad thing. People do it all the time, cover
sure.
versions of great material. And I've done it in the past. Wonderful album that I did with a producer called Jeffrey Foskett called King for a Day, which was a tribute to Carole King.
When this old world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs.
And a really great album. I love it. And I did a bunch of her songs. But this Dolan Sings Nesmith idea, I really wanted to try and re-envision, not do a cover album, but and try to re-envision some of these songs, especially some of the ones that weren't maybe as well known as others. Like Mike did a lot of acoustic things and to try to do something with them. And so Christian and I talked about it. And I said, look, if I'm familiar with these tunes, you've been hearing them since you were in the crib.
Right.
And he said, I got it. I know it's a challenge. And so he started noodling around on his guitar and sending me little snippets and demos and, you know, a few seconds of this and that. And I was just floored. I was just, you know, blown away, frankly. When he sent me the first sort of demo track of Circle Sky, I don't know if you've heard any of this stuff, but there's a song that we have done for years and years called Circle Sky.
Yeah, you actually, it's on Head, and it's also, then you guys did it again on Just Us.
Yeah, exactly. And when he came up with this idea, this arrangement, I was just blown away. The current one, which is a kind of Indian raga version, and he's done that with a bunch of the tunes. And I'm very proud of it. And Nez is too, by the way. When he heard it, he told me, I really like it, Mick. And more than that, I'm really proud of it.
Well, let me tell you something. It's released on 7A Records. And this thing sold out. Like, it was on, you couldn't get it. It was like everyone pre-ordered it. And then when it was released, it was back-ordered. And people are loving it. So congratulations. You never expect, maybe, that this far into your career, you know, that you'll do something that people still, you know, love to listen to and want to come see you. So It's pretty cool.
Go figure. Go figure.
Go figure.
Huh?
Yeah.
No accounting for taste.
I'll tell you what, the album kicks off perfectly. I don't know whose job it was to sequence this thing, but
Christian.
Well, perfect.
Well, Christian and also the A&R, a guy that I engaged named Andrew Sandoval.
Sure.
Doing A&R. And then also the 7A record people, the 7A record company people. They all had a hand in it, but it was pretty... I think Christian had the major hand in sequencing.
And again, it kicks off with Carlisle Wheeling, which is just a perfect song to open the album with. It just grabs you and immediately you're ready for the ride.
Yeah.
So a song I was listening to today, Tomorrow and Me. So there's a lyric in there, to accept apparent loss as a battle won.
The distance now is growing as the highway sings, changing the complexion and the scheme of things. As the world begins to turn, I feel the time has come. Accept apparent loss as a battle won. And with that in mind, I close my eyes and kiss your cheek. Push the loneliness aside and stand on shaky feet. Then re-implant the smile that never really leaves. Gently bless my heart back on my sleeve. Oh, the closeness.
When you're interpreting these songs as an older statesman, do you think about when it was written? Mike was a younger man when he wrote a line like that. It's kind of incredible.
Well, Mike has always, from the very get-go, from the first day I met him, been a poet, been always a wordsmith. He would he'd go to bed at night and read 30 days to more powerful vocabulary. And he still is. He always has been. One thing about his songs that I think stand out an awful lot, besides the melodies and the chord progressions and all of that and the feel and the genre, you know, he it obviously had a country flair, but not traditional Buck Owens country.
Right.
You know, he was doing Big and Rich before Big and Rich were doing it, you know, electric pop, I don't even call it electric pop country or something.
For sure.
He was doing it in the 60s. But his songs always stood out because of the lyrics and the poetry of those lyrics. And sometimes enigmatic. And I've asked him a few times, what the hell did that mean, that line, or the titles? You know, you look at the titles of some of his songs, like Carlisle Wheeling.
Exactly,
Wee,
yeah.
You know, or something like that, or Grand Ennui. And I'm like, what? And he sometimes I'll ask him and he'll just look at me with this wry smile. You know, he won't say anything.
Yeah, he knows, and that's good enough for him. He doesn't care if we know.
No, right.
So let me ask you this. When you were recording, was there a lyric during the sessions that as you were singing it, it kind of crept up on you and gave like a whole new meaning?
Oh, boy. That, not a new meaning, but uh-huh. Some that really, like you said, even though he wrote these, some of them many, many years ago, there's a lot of wisdom in some of those lyrics in Tapio Tundra, for instance. It cannot be a part of me, for now it's part of you. And I asked him about that and only a few years ago.
Reason thus, some pros are right, lose themselves and other ties, and waiting hopes cast silent spells that speak in clouded clues. It cannot be a part of me, for now it's part of you.
And he said it was when we first got back together and doing the Monkey shows, concerts in the reunions. He said, you know, I realized that the songs we talked about it in when after Davey passed and we did some concerts. And we did that song. And the thought is, his thought was, he realized one night in a concert with all those thousands of kids that the song that he was singing no longer belonged to him. It was now their song. And we mentioned that when we were doing Daydream Believer after Davey passed. In fact, we said, you know, we can't even sing this song, because it doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to you. So you sing it. And we would get somebody up on stage to sing along with me on it.
So, yeah. That's,
so that was an example of you know, a lot of wisdom in his lyrics.
Yeah. It's like when I think of Paul Simon, I think he was 21 when he wrote Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. I mean, when I was 21, I couldn't have written anything like that.
Oh, boy. I can't write anything like that now. you know, we all experience the same things, but that's the role of a poet and a lyric writer, especially, is to take those feelings and emotions and put them into words.
Now, speaking of concerts, I was at the show September 16th, 2016 at the Pantages Theater. And, of course, you and Mike and Peter. And this was an unbelievable experience. I witnessed many grown men crying in their seats, Mickey, during this show. It was quite emotional.
Was that bad?
No. Well, you know what? When I would start to cry, then I would see a clip of Julie Newmar, and then I would be okay. So, but what memories do you have of that night?
I can't be, I'll be real honest. I don't remember any specific night.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can sometimes remember venues, or I remember people mostly. I get asked this all the time, but remember that show, I don't remember which one it was in the number in the tour.
Sure.
I can't remember, but you know, I would have been in a show the night before and a show the night after. And the only thing that I would see would be the bus and the back door and backstage and back to the bus.
Right.
And, you know, so I can't, I honestly don't remember, you know, specific instances. And if I do, I don't necessarily remember where they were.
Right.
But I do remember people. And that's what I tend to remember, is people that I meet.
Gotcha. So when you're doing the show, you're in the moment. And then when the show's done, it's done. It's for you, it's done.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the only way you can do it when you're on tour.
True.
And remember that when we're on stage, and I'm sure you've been on stage at night in a lit stage.
Yes.
I don't have that great eyesight. I can only see the first two rows, maybe. Otherwise, it's pitch black. I have no idea what the auditorium looks like and anybody past the third row.
Gotcha. Let me ask about your sister, Coco. How important is it to have her on stage with you every night at these gigs?
Well, it's always been important. And it isn't nepotism. It's because we've been singing together since we were kids. I mean, little kids.
Right.
My mom and dad were both singers. So we grew up in a musical household. My dad sang light opera. My mom sang standards and Billie Holiday. My mom taught my sister and I to sing harmonies at 6 or 8 years old. And we were doing third above harmonies. My mom was from Texas, so we would, you know, be doing Sons of the Pioneers and, you know, and then eventually Everly Brothers. And so we've been singing together always. And I've always loved to have her around because she supports my vocals. And when a lot of the songs that I sang during the Monkees and a lot of Nesmith tunes that I've done my whole career with or without the Monkees or with Mike, a lot of Nes tunes, and you hear it on this album, are those third harmonies. In fact, I call Nes and I, when we go on the road, the Everly Monkees, because it has that third country, you know, harmony. And Coco and I do that really, really well. You know, it's that blood, what do they call it, blood voice or blood harmony or something like that. It, you know, the phrasing just comes so naturally and the tone, similar vocal tones. So yeah, I always, I have to have her along, especially in my solo shows where she's about the only other major background vocal.
Right. And the audience loves Coco. It's not nepotism. If you've got the best in your speed dial, you'd be a fool not to use her.
Oh, absolutely. It brings a lot to every show.
Let me talk about 2016, Good Times. This album comes out. This is a surprise for old fans and then wins you a bunch of new fans, because in this household, my daughter was 12 at the time and she just ate this entire album up. Like, this is we listened to this album every single day for probably 2 years. I'm not even joking. What a gift it was.
I'll bring the chips.
Oh man, I'm very, very proud of that album. I got to hand it to our dearly departed Adam Schlesinger.
Yes.
For that, you know, he did a great job. We all did, everybody did, but boy, Adam just nailed it on that. And what a tragedy that was to lose him. Very proud of that album.
And the song Me and Magdalena continues to be in the set list. And again, that's I'll use the term a gift. That's another gift, because when you and Mike sing that together, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Me and Magdalena, we're driving south through Monterey.
It's hard for me to keep a tear out of my eye when I sing it.
I would imagine. I would imagine night after night when you have to sing some of these, it must get to you a bit.
So that, yeah, there is, you know, over the years, different incidents will occur in my life. And then a song I've sung maybe for decades will take on a little bit of a new meaning or a little more, something a little more personal. But in Me and Magdalena, oh boy, I mean, it's some really unbelievable sentiments in that.
One of the songs on the new album, again, it's Dolan Sings Nesmith, Nine Time Blues. This is one of my favorites on the album. When you sing, when you sing a song like this, is there a person from your past that pops in your mind when you're singing a song like this?
There's usually a few people, especially in a song like that.
Yeah.
My first wife passed away a few years ago, and I definitely was thought about her singing that song. And that was one of the arrangements that I came up with, that re-envisioning of me just doing that with the grand piano. And I had a break in my voice a couple of times in some of the takes that I did on that. At one point, Christian said it was just me and a grand piano player and Christian in this little studio. And the first take I did, I really kind of broke down. And he says, listen, you want to get some hot tea? Your voice is cracking up a bit. And I said, no, Christian, I was crying. And he said, oh, well, Papa, putting my foot in my mouth.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Christian. And then that song goes right into Little Red Rider, which rocks. Like it fades right into that, and it's
that's Christian. I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's something to think of, that those two songs would go together like that. It's fantastic. So I told a bunch of my friends that I have tickets to see you guys at the Greek Theater. And and the first thing they said to me, which I hate this, the first thing they said was, can they really call themselves the Monkees if there's just two of them in the band? And I said, if the Who can do it, then the Monkees can do it. And then I had to add that Mickey Dolenz sings 95% of the songs you might know from the Monkees. You've got, you're all over these hits, Mickey. Take a Giant Step, Last Train to Clarksville, I'm a Believer, Pleasant Valley Sunday, Mary Mary, I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. And then, you know, songs that you wrote, like Randy Scouse Git. I mean, come on. I put these guys in their place immediately.
She's a wonderful lady, and she's mine, all mine, and there doesn't seem a way that she won't come and lose my mind. It's too easy humming songs to a girl in yellow dress. It's been a long time since the party, and the room is in a mess. The four kings of EMI are sitting stately on the floor. There are birds out on the sidewalk and a valet at the door. He reminds me of a penguin with few and plaster hair. There's talcum powder on the letter, and the birthday boy is there. Why don't you cut your hair? Why don't you live up there? Why don't you do what I do? See what I feel when I care? Now they've darkened all the windows and the seats in Naugahyde. I've been waiting for an hour. I can't find a place to hide.
Yeah, we went back and forth about calling it the Monkees. This is really the second leg of a tour we did, Mike and I, before the pandemic.
Right.
And it was not called the Monkees. It was the Mike and Mickey. It was the Monkees Present the Mike and Mickey Show. And I was very comfortable with that.
But sure.
The powers that be decided that since it was the farewell tour, it would just keep it simple. But all of our fans know. And, you know, I haven't heard that it's any kind of a problem.
Well, no, it shouldn't be. And
I'm looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the traveling. And I never liked that part. But that, like I say, they pay us to travel. We sing for free.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the traveling like in 2021 for you guys? It's got to be all first class A-list for you guys, right? You're not in the back of a packing van with Christian and Mike.
No, we just rent. We cram into one U-Haul in the back of my Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's come along a little way since then. This time, you got to be judicious. Also, you just don't want to just throw your money down the toilet. But I'm going to be traveling pretty comfortable this time because I'm getting on, you know. And it's the travel that wipes me out, not the shows.
Oh, yeah. No, if you could just beam yourself like Star Trek onto the stage, that would be amazing. You'd probably do it for free then.
Oh, boy. You aren't kidding.
So another song I want to talk about, Different Drum. Obviously, Mike did a version of it. And then most famously, Linda Ronstadt with the Stone Ponies. What's it like to tackle a song like that that you know is in the, you know, everyone's DNA? We know the Linda version for sure.
Yeah, we went around and around about what songs to do, of course, and if we were going to tackle some of the real well-known Nez tunes like Joanne, for instance. And,
right.
And we all agreed there's no way you're going to do Joanne without the yodel, and you're not going to do Listen to the Band without a big band, and that there's only three lines in the song. So there's ones that we just said, there's just no way. Different Drum was one of those, boy, I'd love to do it. And I do it in my solo show all the time and tell the story of how Mike went in. He was one of the first songs he ever wrote before the Monkees. And he brought it into the producers and sang it on his guitar. And he tells the story. And they said, well, that's nice, but it's not a Monkees song. And he said, but wait a minute, I am one of the Monkees.
Right.
And they said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, it's not a Monkees song. So he said, okay, fine. And the story, of course, is he went and gave it to this young girl singer kicking around town at the time named Linda Ronstadt. And so Christian, again, just came up with such a nice version. And it's interesting to do it because it was written for a guy, obviously.
Right.
And I'm not sure I've heard any guys do it to date. I don't recall. I don't think I have.
No, I haven't either. In closing, I just want to ask you, if these were to be a trilogy, who would be two other artists that Mickey Dolenz might want to sing?
Oh, sorry. You mean as an album?
As an album. If you were to do two more of these and make it a trilogy, who are two other artists?
Great question.
Thank you.
You're right. It would be a trilogy because I did King for a Day. The one that has come to mind, a couple, and it would be the one that really comes to mind was my old friend, Harry Nilsson.
Of course.
And who actually was the the spirit behind Dolan Sings Nesmith, because as I explained in the liner notes, I got the idea when he did Nielsen Sings Newman.
Absolutely.
Back in the early 70s. I don't know if I could attack Harry's stuff because of the vocals. I mean, his range, you know, whoa. Even though I have sung stuff of his in the past. So there's one. And then it also occurred to me, maybe Dolan's Sings Diamond.
Oh, I was thinking of that today, too. Neil Diamond would be great.
Yeah.
Because the Monkees have done a couple before, so that would be perfect. All right, Mickey, I'm going to let you go. Before I do, one more thing. I want to which song from the new album would you like me to feature as our playout song today?
What do I want? Well, Different Drum would be the obvious, but you know, since you and I both like Nine Times Blue and A Little Red Rider, let's do that.
All right, you got it, Mickey. Thank you so much. Continued success with the album, and stay healthy and well on tour, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much, sir.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, bye.
All right, guys, we only had a short time with Mickey today, but I'm hoping he had fun and that he will come back in the future and maybe we can get into the Monkees catalog. Until that happens, go buy Dolan Sings Nesmith. Go see Mike and Mickey on tour. And you can follow Mickey on Twitter at TheMickeyDolans1. And you can go to monkees.com for all things about the Monkees. Also, I want to thank David Salador and my friends Wendy Liebman and Emily Volman for helping me set this up. Over the past few years, Emily and Wendy, I've reached out to them many times to try to help me get Mickey on the show. And thanks to Wendy, it finally happened, and I appreciate it very, very much. We are at Rock Solid Show. Kyle is at Kyle Dotson Funny. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about our show. And now, as dictated by Mickey Dolenz, the man himself, please enjoy Nine Times Blue.
There's a certain something in the way you looked at me and said you'd stay, that let me know that I was out of line. But I didn't know what else to do, and like a fool I tested you by demanding things of you that weren't mine. And now I feel like such a fool for making you crawl back to me. But you did it with such love that you're standing far above me and all I did to you. I'm sorry now. What can I do? I know that never in the world could I have found me such a girl who's there to pick me up before I fall. So if in the end we should go both our separate ways, I know the lesson I've learned here is worth it all. I've known the lesson I've learned here is worth it all.